Throughout our reporting in Aberdeen and Hoquiam and around Grays Harbor County over the last few weeks, we've been asking people what the big topics of conversation are in town. What's in the news? What are people talking about? And many people kept coming back to the subject of homelessness. KNKX's Will James has been reporting on that topic throughout Western Washington, and he came to Aberdeen to see the situation here.
The debate is about this property along the Chehalis River where people have camped for possibly decades, but it's gotten a lot worse in the last couple of years. The city counted more than 100 people living on the site. And in August, the city actually bought the property with the intention of eventually clearing everyone off the site. The mayor says, you know, it's not safe. There are railroad tracks nearby. It's hard for emergency vehicles to get to the riverfront. In the meantime, the city's put up no trespassing signs and is requiring permits, written permission from the city for everyone who ventures onto the site. The person most affected by this is a local Episcopal priest, the Reverend Sarah Monroe. She's with an organization called Chaplains on the Harbor, and a lot of what she does is street outreach.
I filled a backpack with sandwiches and started walking around and getting to know people.
So she goes out into the world, she makes connections with homeless people in Aberdeen. She provides help on a case-by-case basis. You know, she might drive someone to a doctor's appointment. She gets a lot of phone calls asking her to come down to the encampment on short notice to help with a crisis or an emergency that might be going on there. And she was denied a permit.
A permit to access the site.
That's right, yeah. Because she says she wasn't able to provide a schedule of when she goes to the site to do these things. And what she's done is she's actually filed a federal lawsuit over this policy by the city seeking to reverse it.
I think my impetus for doing this was the fact that I saw people being more and more isolated. And having walked with people for a long time, I know how difficult life already is on the street. And this kind of attempt to isolate people even further was something that I found very disturbing, and I felt like it was something that needed to be challenged.
She's arguing that the city's policy infringes on her rights of religious expression and also the people she's helping, their rights of religious expression.
So First Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah Monroe does not have a permit. What does she do now?
She still goes to the site, and she's continuing her work.
I'm never quite sure if I could get arrested for it or not.
I actually went there with her recently. I was denied a permit as well, but I kind of followed her onto the site to see how she goes about this. We walked onto this muddy plain. It goes about as far as you can see. It's this plain of tents and makeshift shelters and old RVs and cars. It looks kind of like a junkyard in places. And what the Reverend Sarah Monroe does is she stops people along the way. She strikes up conversations with them. It's clear that a lot of people there know her. They kind of walk up to her and hug her and strike up conversations themselves.
God bless you, man. Always. Working on it.
You too.
At one point, we stop at this big wooden cross along the river. This is the site where, not long ago, a guy who had been kind of a leader in the encampment, a guy named Sean, died. He was in his 40s. He had a lot of chronic health problems. Reverend Sarah was called to rush down there when she heard that he was dying and actually was able to perform last rites for him.
He died here on this spot. His longtime girlfriend was with him, and his two sons and a daughter, and just a lot of the kids that he had protected. There was just dozens of people standing around him.
That's an example of the type of work that she does. It's often at a moment's notice without kind of a schedule or a plan.
Which makes it hard for her to comply with the permitting regulations.
Yeah, and she says that's the sort of work that's most affected by these regulations. It's the sort of unofficial helpers who are affected by this. It's the friends and family members who stop by the encampment to check up on relatives, to drop things off. That's what's being affected by this.
So what does the city of Aberdeen say about all of this?
Our colleague, Simone Alisea, spoke to the mayor, Eric Larson. And what he says is the city owns this property now and has a responsibility to regulate who goes there. The city has an interest in making sure drug dealers, other people with ill intent, aren't allowed on the site. And he says this whole debate is kind of beside the point in his view, because the issue that he's more focused on is what the city is going to do when it eventually clears the site of everyone living there.
We both can agree on it's not a great thing for them to be down there. It's not a safe situation. They need to have better opportunities for housing. There needs to be a higher level. But, like, how do we get there? And that conversation tends to be where, well, I saw the city did this, or we can do that. And it's like, okay, but that's going to cost X, and it needs to be run by somebody who's going to do that. And those conversations don't tend to go very far.
Homelessness is a visible problem in cities like Seattle and Tacoma, and we have seen it across the region as well. So how does what's happening in Aberdeen compare to what we've seen throughout Western Washington?
We think of Aberdeen and Grays Harbor sometimes as vastly different economically from Seattle and King County, but it's striking that the forces that are driving homelessness there are substantially the same as they are in Seattle. It's housing has gotten more expensive, and places where people were able to live with low incomes, like cheap hotels, have closed down. One of Reverend Sarah's apprentices, a guy named James Peterson, has been homeless in Aberdeen as recently as last winter. It feels like to him, the city of Aberdeen is embarrassed. The city is trying to raise its profile, to improve its image, to attract visitors and investment. And to him, it seems like the city views this problem as a stain, as an obstacle to be cleaned up.
You know, the people that we're supposed to count on to help run the city assume that our homelessness is like a disappointment or an issue against the city of Aberdeen. They don't treat us like we are the people of Aberdeen, and they just want to erase it.
You know, in city after city, we've seen this divide between people who view homelessness as primarily a quality of life issue, an urban blight issue that needs to be fixed because of its holistic effects on the entire community, and people who view this as a human crisis that needs kind of a more human intervention. And that has been a source of conflict in every corner of our region, and it's true in Aberdeen as well.
Will James, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
KNKX's Will James reporting in Aberdeen.